We're back, ladies and gentlemen. This is episode 2 of Cracking the Wall, or Cracks in the Wall, whatever you want to call it, Will. We can't seem to stop talking about this stuff, so we're going to give you guys another hour, it looks like.
Yeah, okay. One thing I want to say, when breaking codes and dealing with language, you have to understand the use of vowels, and that in ancient languages, in ancient Egypt, the vowels never were used because they understood that the vowels were you can't say a word without a vowel. So they understood that all the vowels were interchangeable. So just like you have to know your vowels at a wedding, you have to know your vowels to wed these polarities and how to use the vowels and change and move the vowels around to realize that all things are connected. And that's one thing that the unseen hand uses is the vowels to confuse.
Right.
Because they're not needed. I mean, you can see this depicted in Alice in Wonderland where the caterpillar is sitting on the mushroom. And he's singing A-E-I-O-U because he knows the vowels.
He's making a vow, yeah.
Exactly. And you see why Alice is busy trying to figure out who she is. He ascends. His wings, you know, he gets his wings and he flies away.
Right. She's like, who's this crazy critter that's smoking this hookah thing? I'm so lost right now. And he just kind of takes off.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. He's not any fear. And he knows, you know, he realized that the secret is in the language.
Right.
And she says that, that's the same thing where, you know, Alice meets Humpty Dumpty. He said the goal is to be master. You know, I can use the word any way I want to use the word, you know, but by knowing the vowels, you know, you have to know the vowels and you have to know how to use the vowels.
Right. And Tim Burton's coming out with a new Alice in Wonderland soon, so it's going to be interesting to see what happens when Alice returns to Wonderland, because that's the plot of that film. And we were talking about before how Helena Bonham Carter, I think I'm saying her name right, was in the Harry Potter series, which is obviously just riddled with occult imagery. And her name in that film was Bellatrix Lestrange, which was a very important star in the alignment to the Pleiades and the alignment to Orion. And you have Gary Oldman, who was Sirius Black, so he's a direct resonator of Sirius. And in this new Alice in Wonderland, Helena Bonham Carter plays the Queen of Hearts. And you had a really interesting observation about that scene in the trailer when she has the fat little hot pig under her feet. She said, I need a warm pig under my feet.
Right. She's speaking of the energy of Seth. You know, Seth is what brings Osiris to his maximum potential, and which is darkness. You know, so, and when you're bored, time is what sparks things into action. So Seth, Saturn, you know, that type of energy is what's needed to bring us to our full potential.
Right, right.
But one thing that's really thick in that's going on right now is this Tin Man and this Tin Man energy, and Tin Man is Jupiter. Jupiter is the planet connected with the metal tin, and then Jupiter is also the number 10, the Lord of Lords, King of Kings.
And the Tin Man's always looking for a heart with his axe to grind.
Exactly. So you have this Jupiter, or this this ten power, this Aus ten powers, you know, that's taking place, and you have this ten word in quarantine. See, so you know this ten man energy is really, really thick right now.
Right, and my friend Jay Kata, who works in synchromysticism, often draws correlatives between Freddy Krueger, the guy from Nightmare on Elm Street, being the clawed, tiger-striped resonator. And we're in the year of the Chinese zodiac right now, the year of the tiger, and then you have Jupiter, the planet itself. It's got the striped pattern, the striation patterns. And
exactly.
Freddy, again, is a character that seems to have no heart.
Exactly. Right. And that's the concept of being, when we go throughout our lives, putting fault on someone for our conditions or for, you know, the everyday circumstances that we go through. And so the earth and the heart is just the same word with the letters rearranged. So when you have the earthquake, you have the heartquake. And when you have the earth, Q wake, the heart cube wakes. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I see what you're saying. I'm seeing red right now. Why don't we put the audience to work right now? Let's make them do something, Will. Let's tell them to get out a sheet of paper and do that exercise, the Law of Five that you went over with me the other day.
The Law of Five. Which one?
That very important cipher that you said you figured out shortly after discovering the pattern of pi, where you write down the alphabet in five letters, A, B, C, D.
Oh, okay. Yes, definitely.
Let's make them do some work so they can see it for themselves.
Okay, yeah.
All the audience needs to do is grab a sheet of paper and write down A, B, C, D, E, and then make a line underneath it, F, G, H, I, J, then a line underneath that, K, L, M, N, O, and then under that, P, Q, R, S, D, and then under that, U, V, W, X, Y. And you're going to start to see some very interesting patterns and words that are in that the advertisement companies, the people behind the scenes use every day to keep us trapped in this dualistic thinking. You want to point out some of the codes in that?
Well, you could see, once you get this written down, you can see the G.I. Joe. And you can actually see what it means to jot down something.
Right. And look, if you skip the jot, you can see joy, too. It's J-O-Y, directly straight down. Or enjoy.
And the C-H-R-S-T... is the Christ. So you notice between the G and the H is duality. And the I, you know, so we only have one I here, so this is very important. This is the whole concept of being, the Bible says, if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out. Well, you see, the right eye is removed, and there's a G there.
Right.
So you have the G-I, Joe, and G-I, G and I is 16, which is pi. In, you know, 7 and 9.
Wow.
Excuse me. So you have the God being pierced in his side or his sight. So you have the whole concept of the pirate with one eye. Right. You have the whole concept of the pirate with one eye. And also, when you, like we were saying, there's such a play on words, and you have the word spirit. Well, here there's another code revealed the same spirit. So you spear the G.
All right.
You spear the G, and the blood flows down into the grail, which is the V below, and we flow back to 0 point.
And we also have the word Christ down and to the right, if you follow C-H-R-S-T, and it's also spelled on that same line with a Q, Christ,
right,
Q.
Q-R-S-T, right. Exactly. So you have the love or the glove right here. I was speaking of the bloody glove, the missing glove, where you see it right here. And we're going to do a segment on a video on it that's going to explain it more in detail. But you see the fifth element being extracted, or you see the you know, the glove right here, the hand. It says the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Here it is right here. It's, you know, it's telling you the story right here. We're speaking of the fifth element.
In the film, the fifth element is love.
Right.
Or
right,
but
exactly.
you're associating with love and also the feminine, the sacred feminine, right?
Well, most definitely, because you see the L-O-V or the L-Q-V, which is flowing down after you pierce or you put out your own eye and stop seeing things in a dual sense, then the love starts to flow down, and we start going to 0 point. You can see, okay, so yeah, you know when we were coming up, we had the G.I. Joe with the Kung Fu grip, so you see the G.I. Joe and the KFG, there it is right there. You know, it's right there, you know, in this code right here.
For people who don't see that, it's on the second line. You just follow G, and then go to the I and the J, and then you have J going down to G.I. Joe, or Jot, or Joy, or Enjoy,
right.
And the Kung Fu grip is on the first column. It's the KFG right next to each other in a trinity like that. So
correct.
you can see the code straight up right there, like that. Now you have to wonder if the people that made G.I. Joe had advanced knowledge of that, or if it's a cosmic happenstance. I know Will.
This is done by design. Manly P. Hall said that the alphabet was divine, and this is what he was saying, that each letter is assigned to one of the tarot cards.
Mm-hmm.
So he was saying that the alphabet was a divine concept. I mean, the alphabet is God. you take G and D and remove the vowel, and you have 7-4 or 7-22, which gives you 3.14.
Right. I'm just looking at this now, and I'm seeing some more things. I live in Florida, and the F, L, and R are connected with each other. And right. The rapper Eminem, you could make his name without having to move more than one letter. Is that you follow right. the follow the E, I, M, N, and then back again.
Right. Now, and like you said, happenstance, well, just every, I mean, since all things are connected, we're dealing with mathematics here.
Right.
So there's so many things that's going to be revealed here just based on mathematics alone. I mean, there's this, it's divine.
Right.
It's
right.
truly, it's living. It's a living, breathing entity, the alphabet is.
And the R and the X, if you guys look down on your fourth column down, you have the R and an X, which are diagonal to each other.
Right.
Which is prescription, but also if you were to overlay the R and the X, you have the cross within the cross. That was very important in Roman architecture. Actually, the Vatican, that the area around the Vatican has the cross within the cross with the P at the top. I'm not remembering what that symbol is called exactly. It's the cross within the cross, and that's another star map or stellar alignment. They used to have it on their currency, on their coins. It would be, I'm not sure if it was Nero or what coin it was, but on the back you would have the double X intersecting with the P on the top, right on their currency.
And then, you know, you have the J-O-T-Y, and they used to say in the, back years ago, they say, but Jody got your gal and gone. Well, J-O-T, T can also change to D, so you have Jody right here. And you go right to the movie, what was it, Baby Boy, and the guy name was Jody.
Right.
You know, you have this whole concept right here. I mean, this code is it's absolutely beautiful. It was a lot of secrets.
So whether the people are using it intentionally or not, it's not really the issue. The issue is that it's a living language. It's always been here, or it's been here as long as we could remember, and we've always used it in a way that's maybe not connected to the divine, because we've just have an amnesia of that. But now we're trying to regain that wisdom, regain that knowledge.
Oh, definitely, definitely. I mean, you know, once we get out of the concept of blame, or wanting to blame our circumstances or blame the things that we go through on someone, then that's when the love starts to flow. And then that's when we have a change of heart. You can take this concept, you can take this idea, and you can, the scales of Ma'at here, and you have the glove, which is the love, and you have the heart on here. So as you put your right hand over your heart, if you stood behind this alphabet, you could put your right hand over your heart and you would be on balance with the feather, the father. So you'd be at the right hand of the feather on the scales of Ma'at.
Right, and you're pledging to your allegiance.
Exactly, exactly, exactly. So you could see the scales of Ma'at in this, and you see the if you look at the Book of the Dead, you can even I'm speaking from my own images that I'm looking here that I've created, so we'll have to reveal that later.
Sure.
But you can see that the letter M is in the middle, the number 13. If you look, you see that it's the woman, the feminine, with her legs open. So she's given birth to this alphabet going either direction. You know, she's given birth to what the destructive and the creative nature of language, period. So she's in the middle.
If I remember correctly, there's also a lot of symbolism revolving around PMS and the menstrual cycle, and how people think women are crazy when they're on their on the rag, or whatever you want to call it, because they're lunatics. The moon is dictating their cycle.
Right. The Kundalini is actually rising when a woman is on her cycle, and that's why the energy is so powerful that most women can't handle it, but they've been told to really hate this time of month.
Right.
But that's exactly what's happening. You know, when the woman is connected with the bull energy in the Taurus, so when Taurus sees red, she charges. That's
right.
What's happening is that Kundalini energy is rising whenever it sees red, whenever it sees blood. And that's what happens with this whole, this matrix we're in. Whenever there's bloodshed, whether there's a war, a battle, a large, catastrophic, anything that takes place on this planet where there's a lot of bloodshed, the Kundalini rises. Right now, I don't know, you know, if anybody's noticed that our awareness based on the earthquake that's taken place, if you are not in blame mode and not, you know, have your love locked down, you'll realize that your awareness has increased. because the blood flow.
Which is why things like the 9/11 mega ritual happen, and we have a lot of loss of life. We still have this Kundalini rising event because it shakes us out of the cage of kind of being ignorant and being non-active and not seizing our power.
Right,
now,
right.
And those in power create POWs, which is just part of the word, prisoners of war, right there. So even the word power is encoded in a way.
Exactly. Yeah, anytime, you know, there's bloodshed or the towers of duality fall, our awareness increases.
The towers themselves, actually, the architecture is one of the things I picked up when I was doing some of my videos, is they were shaped as tuning forks or tridents. And those towers coming down were basically a resonant effect where the whole world was watching those events and resonating with them and raising their frequency and raising their vibration. Even though there was tragedy and death, the people that were not killed in the incident were rising above, were starting to see things with new eyes.
Right. We go into a higher awakened state. I mean, you look at the letter V, what's happening, especially with the earthquake, the ship of our ship, you know, our life, our consciousness has just accelerated. And whenever a ship moves forward at a quicker rate, it leaves a V-shaped wake behind. So it creates a more of an awakening state within us as this ship pushes forward, you know, through the water. And so we are, every time something like that happens, our awareness increases if we allow it to increase.
Right, and you were just saying that the V is open-ended, so it's sort of symbolic of an ascension, of a way to arise from something. And we were talking about symbolism with superheroes and things of that nature and how the Superman pendant on the middle of his chest is an S encased in a diamond, which is basically a V with a top on it, so you cannot escape. And we were saying how, you know, Superman, his bane is kryptonite. So
right. That
word is stemmed from encryption. And there are other things. The S was had to do with serpent under pressure, how it's a diamond shape, how, you know, carbon under pressure for a long enough time, the number of the beast, 666, is just carbon. If that's under pressure for a long enough time, it forges a diamond, just like the baseball diamond. And you had some pretty incredible aesthetic correlations to the baseball diamond, if you want to tell the people what you've been able to see in that.
Well, you take the three bases and you have 666 right there. So you have the code for carbon right there within the baseball game. And there's nine endings in a baseball game. And from October to August is 9 months. So you have the iPod or the seed that comes forth in 9 months. Excuse me, which will take you right to the movie August Rush. And you see the... an awakening took place in August, because awe and gust is wind and awe is gold. You know, so you have the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, or the pot of gold at the end of the arch. You know, the arch that, you know, that...
What he was saying, everybody, is that the symbol for gold is AU, so that's the beginning of August.
Right. The AU is the symbol of gold. Oh, and speaking of AU, we just had the ritual that took place with the... thing in Texas, which was definitely connected to Austin Powers. This guy is the Jupiter energy that has an axe to grind. He was depicted seen playing a bass guitar, and he was only shown half. And whenever you see one and cut in half, this is the energy being paralyzed. You know, he's not he's spiritually paralyzed. This is the Jack of Spades. You can see this on the Jack of Spades card, where the Jack is cut in half, and so you have the J and the J, and the faces are facing two different directions. And so this is Pisces, and so this goes right to our guy who's making all these apocalyptic movies, J.J. Abrams. J.J. is the broken heart, because two J's, it takes two J's to make a heart. So J.J. is the broken heart.
And O.J. is the open eye.
Exactly. And OJ, because, you know, J represents the ascent and the descent into matter. So, and J is also a hook. So J is connected with the feminine heart and with the feminine. So you have this, like I was saying, this guy is cut in half and drove the plane and into the seven stack building, which, you know, is the seven chakras. and you could see the black smoke, and you go right to Lost, and you see the same black smoke. So the black smoke is, you know, correlation to the facing yourself in your heart, in other words.
Right, right. And the J in Hook makes me think of Captain Hook, and in the film, in the book, I'm not sure if it's the same, but the alligator basically falls on Captain Hook, the one-armed, one-eye Horus resonator. And
right.
It's the crocodile god, which is Sobek, which
right.
falls on him, which is representative of the galactic center, and swallows him up into the galactic gnosis. And
right.
he is the Captain Hook, he's the pirate. Sobek, there's lots of different things in advertisements today that uses the reptile or the crocodile-headed god in their advertising that stems from the word Sobek, like the energy drink Sobe. Their logo is the dueling chameleons, the dualistic chameleons that are walking together, you know, light and dark and male and female, the dualistic idea of thinking. They use it to sell energy drinks. They make you feel like you're drinking light, and they embed all these codes in it so you don't really suspect.
Right, and well, you know, and instead of, you know, concentrating on the energy or the inner god, you know, we need something to boost our energy, and all we need to do is really clean our system out.
Yeah.
We don't need a boost of energy. You know, all these things that we, you know, constantly put into our system.
Mm-hmm.
They basically just used to dumb us down.
Mm-hmm.
And
they use scare tactics that are kind of laughable in some ways once you realize what they are, like the skull and bones, how their number of power is 322, and their crossbones are the femur bones. And what is Alex Jones and all these New World Order, you know, Second Matrix guys yapping about on their megaphones? They're talking about being afraid of being put into FEMA concentration camps.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
All a concentration is a con job, and the FEMA camps are the femur bones that Skull and Bones uses in their logo.
Well, once again, you're dealing with concentration, and you're dealing with thought, and you're dealing with Tuhudia, the ninth gate of Sagittarius. So you're dealing with concentration, the Ibis ability to concentrate. This the Watergate that we go through is, you know, Sagittarius. So, and then you're dealing with concentrated OJ, a concentrated OG, orange juice. So this is all connected with this the sage type energy, this Jupiter energy, because Jupiter rules Sagittarius. You know, rules wisdom. It's the king, you know, king of knowledge and wisdom.
Now I've got 40 or 50. I've got a flock of ibis birds in my backyard, actually, that I was taking footage of the other day for our upcoming video. They're representative of looking down beneath the abyss, and their name comes directly from ancient Egypt. They're constantly bobbing their head under the water, under the abyss, under the looking glass.
Right. Well, the one thing about the ibis, he will stare in the water for hours till the fish come along. So that's where the idea of concentration comes from. You know, of problem solving or figuring things out, and it comes from the ibis because, you know, most of, you see the ibis in Egypt, he's black and white, representing this dual concept.
Right.
But the reason the ibis is so powerful, though, it's connected with water and remembering. See, because mem in Egypt is water, so you. And we realize that there's nothing new under the sun. I mean, you've never seen a new drop of water. You know, you look in the ocean, there's no new drop of water, so that means there's nothing new. So you just have, and so the ibis is the master of numbers and is able to utter truth because of the attention to detail, you know, and the ability to focus.
He concentrates and focus, and when the most opportune time, the perfect timing, is to stick his head under the water, the womb of the water, basically, the stargate of the abyss, whatever you want to call it.
Right.
And he's very careful and calculating when he does this.
Exactly, right. And he's in the water, in the reflecting pool, constantly looking in the water and constantly reflecting his dual nature. He sees his black and white within the water. He realizes there's no separation between him and the water.
Right, and it's probably easier for a creature like a bird to be able to do this because their eyes are bilocated on each side of their head. It's not like human beings who have the two eyes in front of them who are constantly seeing one image with two eyes straight ahead. Their eyes are on opposite sides of their head, so they see each side individually, and their brain makes an image whole as the light enters in.
Talking about the swiftness of thought, you know, you have the Percy Jackson movie out, and which represents the swiftness of thought, and the Clash of the Titans releasing the Kraken is the Kraken of the Whip. of Abraxas and the ability to think on your feet, because anyone who is quick on their feet has the ability to think fast. So you have OJ, who's quick on his feet. If you're quick on your feet, you have the ability, the swiftness of thought.
Right. He was a running back for the Raiders, again, with the pirate theme, the one-eyed theme, right?
Exactly. Yes, exactly. So when we stop seeing things in duality, it does make us quick on our feet. It makes us be able to utter truth quickly.
This is why it's not a coincidence that all the Masonic tracing boards, or most of them anyway, have the checkerboard pattern, which is just black-white dualism forever.
Right, right. That goes right to the concept of, like I was saying in the other podcast about being in the now. You have the story of Ricky Bobby trying to win the race. You know, if you're not first, you're last. But he wrecks himself and destroys everything around him trying to win this race, and there's no race to win. You need to be present and just be in the now.
Right. He does all kinds of funny things to prepare for the race. Like, doesn't his father tell him to, like, put a lion or a tiger in his car or something like that?
Cougar.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that goes right to where, you know, the cougar represents strength and power. And, you know, you have the jaguar paw in the movie Apocalypto, where he was running with the jaguar. So, yeah.
You came up with some really fascinating insights about all of the book covers for the increasingly popular vampire series Twilight.
Maybe we can
talk about that and get the audience to pull up that image like you had me do the other day. All you need to do is just I guess type in Twilight books or something like that in a Google search and try to find the image with all four books up so you can see what each one symbolizes. I'm going to pull that up right now so I can do it along with the audience. Just typing in Twilight in Google, and then, let's see. Where did I find it last time? Twilight books, maybe? And then click images, and there you go. If you just type in Twilight books, Twilight space books, hit images, it's the third image on the right in Google, and then just maximize it so you could really see each cover, and then Will will go over and break it down for you. The first one's incredible, the apple of the eye.
Yes, definitely.
Let's start with the first one and just work our way around clockwise.
Yeah, the apple of the eye. This is interesting because we're dealing with the Twilight, and you know we were all raised with Twilight Zone.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you look at the L. It's an erect phallus, so that's the phallus of Osiris, erect between the two eyes, and between our own eye. And so you have the apple of the eye. When you reverse and turn the image over, you see the pyramid that's made by our hands. You see the apple at the top of the pyramid, so you have the apple of the eye.
The Osiris eye, the eye of Ra in this instance, is represented by an apple.
Correct. And like I was saying, the apple is very sacred in the occult. It's tied in with the constellation Auriga. And in the constellation Auriga, it's pentagram shaped. And whenever you cut open an apple, you see the pentagram.
Right, the seeds are pentagramic, and that's also resonant with the planet Venus, or the morning star, and also the feminine energy.
Correct. The planet Auriga has the Michael Jackson in the heavens, basically. You see the nanny goat and the two goats and the male goat there. You see the whole family right there. So you see this concept of the, you know, Michael Jackson was resonating with Baphomet. He was the last, I think, yeah, they even made a book after his supposed death. And at the top of the book or cover, it said goat.
Now, for those people out there that don't understand the symbolism behind the Baphomet, you want to break that down for them a little bit, Will?
Well, Baphomet is
baffling.
Yes, Baphomet is just represents the androgynous. Aries rules the head, so you have the goat or the ram. So that's where we want to. Aries is the ram that rules the head. So that's where, you know, we want to. That's where our memory is. You know, Aries rules memory. And so you have the Baphomet, the flame that's coming out of the top of the Baphomet's head, and you have androgynous nature of the Baphomet, and, you know, the wedding of the two energies of the polarities of male and female within one composite being.
The snake over that arises in a coil shape over his heart basically is the serpent over the heart chakra.
Right, correct. And the Baphomet is the lord of four worlds. Represents the lotus, the goat, you know, the animal, the sea creature represented, you know, by the scales, the five-pointed star, you know, our earth, water, air, and fire, and the, you know, the fifth element, you know, the quintessence. And then I believe it's on his right arm, it's solve, correct?
Yeah, it says solve.
Right, to find it, you know, so you're speaking of finding an explanation or an answer for. And then on his left hand, you have coagula, so you're speaking of the blood or the thickening mass. And then the female breast symbolizes the essence, you know, of the goddess, the sacred feminine.
And it's no wonder why our pop stars like Lady Gaga basically do the Baphomet gesture. On one of her album covers, I believe, she's just doing the exact same gesture as solve. And she represents androgyny because she's a hermaphrodite, if I'm correct, right?
Right, correct. And Gaga is one of the first words that a baby learns. You know, Gaga or Google.
So she knows the language code.
Well, I mean, I think she's being fed the language code. I'm right. Not sure if she... I don't know. She's very well-groomed, though, for the occult. I mean, her last... this one last song... she's actually calling on Ra, so she is definitely an occult tool.
Well, getting back to the New Moon books, we covered the first one with the apple of the eye and the truncated pyramid and the phallic pillar between the eyes. Let's move on to the next one in the lineup, which is New Moon.
Okay, hold on a second.
Sure. It has it looks like. The red of a tulip or a rose is bleeding out, and it's causing blood to fall at the bottom, which is, again, I guess, tied to the menstrual cycle, right? New moon?
Right. And we're speaking of the tulips. So this is very important. This is also tulips, as in kissing. Are you speaking of the kundalini serpents kissing? Because you have the ancient... order of the SS order. So you're speaking of Hitler's SS order. So you're speaking of the two serpent energies kissing. You had the Gene Simmons with the kiss, and, you know, he wore the makeup. So here you have a code of kiss and makeup.
And the main protagonist...
No, the two lips.
The main protagonist in the story, the female, is always asking her vampire lover, Edward, for a kiss. She's always making a big deal out of getting a kiss from him.
Right.
At the very end of Twilight, she's just like, I just want one thing for my birthday, a kiss. That's it.
Right. Now, the tulip is connected with Holland. Holland was known for its tulips. Their economy depended greatly on tulips about 100 years ago. You could buy a house with tulips. Tulips are very popular over there now. So it's connected with finance, and you can see on the cover of this book, the tulip is falling. So this is the occult is telling us that the economy is going to collapse. It's going to fall. So the tulips are falling. You have this is very interesting because you have Ricky Bobby and this kiss that's taking place on the Talladega Nights, and then you even have the rappers Lil Wayne and the guy Baby, I believe. They're kissing, and a lot of people say, they're gay, but the world is a stage.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to know what you're looking at. So you have this French kiss going on Ricky Bobby, and then you have the same French kiss because they're over there in, you know, Louisiana, ruled by the French.
And commonly on the MTV Music Awards or Movie Awards, they have the award for Best Kiss, so it's like a big deal. And then you have the band kiss. And when I think about, like, the world stage as far as rituals and hermaphroditic or polarity kissing, there was obviously the really popular kiss between Madonna and Britney Spears. Madonna was cloaked in this black, like, ritualistic dress, and Britney Spears was dressed in this, like, white wedding gown almost.
Exactly. It's the polarity.
Right. They're tongue kissing. There you go.
So what the unseen hand expecting us to go into a judgment... you know, and start criticizing.
Right. Oh, they're lesbians. Oh, they're gay. That's really not what the symbolism's about, is it?
Not seeing that there's a higher purpose or a higher meaning to everything that's happening in front of us. You see the men on TV, a lot of the actors, wearing the dress. And then you go and there's Bravo saying, say yes to the dress. So it's telling man that he has to find balance with his heart instead of going around with an axe to grind. So the Tin Man, he said that, you know, when he was discovered, it started to rain and he frozen solid in this state. In other words, we don't want, you know, things to really drastically start changing, and we freeze with a broken heart. So we have to let go of the axe, bury the hatchet, you know.
Very good, very good. And let's move on to the next book in the series, Eclipse. It seems like it's got a red ribbon being broken at the top, or some kind of, how would you describe it?
I would say that would be the silver cord breaking, even though it's being red.
Mm-hmm.
This is...
Well, the eclipse is tied to Luna, which is very, very resonant,
right,
with the silver cord.
Right. And you notice with words, especially like red is in these type of words that's connected to the feminine energy, as in sacred,
mm-hmm,
or scared.
Right.
You know, and the red is in there, or murder.
And what's in eclipse also is ESP, extrasensory perception.
Right, right, right. Now, we just had this eclipse, and this major eclipse that just took place in January, I believe it was. And so you have this apple, and you have the eclipse. You have these two books, and you put them together, and you just say the word fast, and you have apocalypse.
Right.
Instead of apple eclipse.
Yeah, try it out, guys. Just say apple eclipse really fast. After a while, it will sound like apocalypse.
Right. So you have, you know, which takes us all the way back to Bunny Tyler, I believe, was it? Yeah, that sung Total Eclipse of the Heart. And so we had the... On February 14th of this year, we entered the Year of the Tiger, which was Valentine's Day. So we have had the total eclipse of the heart. So keep your eyes open.
Wow, that just made the most insane synchronicity in my head ever, because that connects the tiger symbolism to Jupiter, the Tin Man, Freddy Krueger, the eye at the top of the truncated pyramid, the eclipse, the silver cord. That's one gigantic sync right there. Tiger Woods right now is having quite the drama, isn't he?
Yeah, yes, definitely. I mean, the world is a stage. Tiger Woods, I believe he was manufactured, probably created by Tavistock. Tiger, you have the IG in there, so, you know, we're dealing with pie again. And you have you playing golf on a tee, so we're talking about raising up the sun. You know, you put the ball on the tee and you tee off, playing 18 holes on the green. So here we are, we're talking again about pie. Now, and you're speaking of Tiger Woods, or wood is phallic, so you're speaking of raising the wood of Osiris in the Year of the Tiger.
Actual drama. It's a drama about him being promiscuous.
And he's age 33.
There you go.
So keep your eyes open, because this is the Year of the Tiger. And he crashed his vehicle into the tree. Well, another name for Osiris was the Woodcock. And I think there was a Billy Bob Thornton movie called The Woodcock.
Hmm.
Yeah, The Woodcock. And The Woodcock is symbolic of, you know, like the feminine principle was the major principle in ancient times. So you're dealing with...
Tiger Woody Woodpecker.
Right. So you're dealing with only... Exactly. You're dealing with only the feminine principle, where it was just the mother and the son. So in the Bible, you could see this with Nimrod, where he had sex with his mother. So people look at that as incest. And then you see the incest on the movie that just took place with Precious. And then you look at this incest idea. Well, every time an acorn falls from a tree, it has sex with its mother. See, so you have Tiger Woods' vehicle running into this tree. With open eyes, you see this incest idea of the woodcock right there in front of you.
That's really, really an interesting sync, man.
Right. So you see that it's all by plan, it's all by design. So, you know, you start going into being judged, you know, start judging, being judgmental of what other people's doing, so you have this Tin Man energy, metal or heavy metal, are you meddling in other one's affairs?
And when you go to be judged, you're in court, and just like you're in a basketball court when you're playing, and things of that nature. And it, let's see, when you court somebody, you're also taking them on a date or wooing them, starting a relationship. That's what court means.
Right, exactly.
So are you judging each other then, or is that what that's supposed to imply? Or?
Exactly. And, well, the relationship, the greatest relationship, is the Navi-ship that's about to set sail. The ship of the North, the Ursa Major.
The Navi-ship? What is... You knew that it was the name of the alien species on Avatar, too, right?
Correct. I mean, it ties right into Old Navy Blue. So we're speaking of the Na'vi and the ancient ship of the North. Ursa Major was known as the Na'vi, so we have the Navigator or the Navigator. So you follow the North Star as a Navigator or a Navigator.
So we're supposed to follow... We're supposed to follow the Na'vi, the blue ETs on that an Avatar, just like we would a navigational unit, because they're basically living in an environment that's symbiotic with nature, where they're basically cherishing the Earth and loving the Earth in the proper way instead of trying to dig for resources and start wars. So we're supposed to take the lead of the Na'vi, use them as a navigation system.
Exactly. So you have the... See, the Na'vi, there's many names that was given to Ursa Major, you know, the Pleiades, and one of them was Habitus. Since we are creatures of habits, that's where you got the word hobbits from. And so Charlie on Lost fell through the looking glass because of his hobbits or his habits, you know, because the rock star falling through the looking glass. I mean, it's all connected together.
Well, we may as well finish out the series with Twilight and talk about the final book, Breaking Dawn, which is just a picture of, it looks like, the Queen and a red pawn in the back. So really, you could smack that D in the head and it'll swing around, it'll say Breaking Pawn, huh?
Right. Which book is that?
What's it's the final one, the last one we didn't talk about. It's just it's more duality. It's got a checkerboard on it or a black and white pattern, and it's got the Queen, I believe, and a red pawn in the back, and the name of the book is Breaking Dawn.
Oh, correct. Yeah, that's Breaking Pawn.
Right.
You know, there's pawns in the game. You can see this depicted also in the movie The Watchers, where he walks past the pawn shop, and he goes through the Watergate. You know, there's Nixon right there, and he's going through the Watergate, but he walks past the pawn shop and he walks past the bar. Bar is Orion, or the barrier of Orion is what we're trying to cross to get to the Pleiades. So as a lawyer has to pass the bar, you know, we're trying to pass the barrier, the bar, or break the barrier.
There is a ton of symbolism in Watchmen.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah, you can see the Nephilim right there. You know, the guy, he transforms, he's the blue Nephilim. You have this man on fire concept. You know, Denzel Washington was a man on fire. You see that movie, he's walking with a little child, an ancient alchemical symbol for the awakening of this new consciousness is a man with a small child. Small child represented that new consciousness, protecting that new awareness and nurturing it, because it's new. It's like when we do awaken, there's going to be a lot of babies.
This will trip people out pretty much, too. The character Dr. Manhattan in The Watchmen is the Mad Hatter, symbolizes the Mad Hatter, and also has a circumpunct dot in his third eye. He's a blue entity, just like the Na'vi, the navigational unit. His name is Dr. Manhattan, which is the Big Apple. So
right,
you can take that back to the Twilight, Apple of the Eye at the top
right.
of the pyramid.
Yes, this very conversation we have, and I've already discovered, but this very conversation just leads you to the blue apples at noon. I was discussing high noon with you, so you have the idea of blue apples at noon with the Cathars, the blue apples at noon. William Henry constantly speaks of the blue apples at noon, and that's what it's speaking of, being the awakened throat chakra. Yeah, the Cathars spoke of blue apples at noon, and you can see it in a lot of ancient...
That's why the cowboys always meet to duel at high noon, right?
At high noon, because at high noon, we're perfect. The creation casts no shadow, so there's no shadow. Everything is perfect.
So you're not looking at a shadow self. You're basically the combination of the two, just like the Baphomet symbolizes.
Exactly. It's right there at high noon, right there in, you know, at the base of your spine, you have the clock there in the pelvic area. It's like a clock. And the Kundalini sits right there at high noon. It sits there right there at 12 o'clock.
So you think this pending zero-point event is going to be this sort of releasing of the Kundalini energy from the root chakra? What would happen to the human species if we hit this zero-point? Well, you can start by talking about high noon. That's a good place to start.
Oh, okay. The high noon, yeah, right. Creation casts no shadow when we're actually... There's no shadow self. Everything is perfect. The Masons call this time the Most High. You know, a lot of people think that that's some god or something, but it's actually the sun, and it's at its most high point at 12 o'clock at high noon when there is no shadow. And like you were saying, the cowboys have their showdown at high noon, and this is associated, the quick and the dead is just the fastest tongue in the West, not the fastest gun. In other words, it's to be able to utter truth, and the whip represented the whip of Abraxas. The ability to, the swiftness of thought.
And Abraxas is like a cock-headed god that rides in on the four horses of the apocalypse.
Exactly. Abraxas, the whip is, you could see this with the cowboy with his whip. I mean, you see this, that's what makes me think that some of these things are just myths, yeah. You know, that are tied to high, you know, spiritual principles. The cowboy goes through the double doors, you know, in the saloon with the double doors. You go, when you go into the pineal and pituitary gland, there's an area within the brain that looks like two double doors that you go through.
Right, and they're always whipping out their six shooters or their sex shooters, since they're all phallic looking.
Exactly, because the gun is a phallic symbol. Like, so you're raising that Osiris energy, or waking up the ability to speak truth. You know, the fastest tongue in the West, the quick and the dead.
The people that can talk the fastest, even in that movie, The Quick and the Dead. Gene Hackman, that's right.
Yeah.
He was the main villain, and he was the fastest talker.
Okay, so we're dealing with Hackman, and we're dealing with Aquarius, because he's an Aquarius.
And then who else is in that film but Leonardo DiCaprio, which is, what, a mixture of Leo and Capricorn, right?
And Capricorn, right. DiCaprio is the Capri Sun. Did you see this movie called Hurt Locker?
That sounds familiar. I don't think I've seen it, though.
Very interesting movie. Well, I mean, it just changes into Heart Locker, where they were over in Iraq, and they were going, and they were disarming these serious bombs, and which ties directly into Davy Jones' locker,
right?
And the Heart Locker, the heart being in a locker, and then you go right to Napoleon Dynamite, and you see him standing in front of these three lockers, and Napoleon is tied in with the French, and Napoleon is tied in with Haiti and Louisiana. So you see the correlation.
And Neapolitan is, you know, traditionally the three colors, the ice cream, the Neapolitan ice cream is red, right. Green, and white.
Yeah, and we're dealing with these, when you're dealing with three, and you see the series of 111, you're dealing with 111. And 111 in the Kabbalah is destruction and sudden death. So we're dealing with the 111th Congress. We're dealing with Bilbo Baggins and his 111th birthday. Excuse me, now the 111th birthday ties in directly with Obama's 111th day in office is Hitler's birthday. So you're speaking of the birth of dictators, those who have the ability to use diction or use words. And Bilbo Baggins expressed that the way he was, you know, mesmerizing the community with his use of words.
That is fascinating. And like when I'm looking at my monster energy drink, and you divide the M into three segments, you have the three columns there, the three pillars there.
Right. You have the 111. See, so that's certain sudden death and destruction. Bilbo Baggins was smoking the weed, so you got that tied in to the 420 where they celebrate the smoking of marijuana.
I'm not familiar with that, Will. I don't know what you're talking about.
420. They have a 420 day.
Kidding with
everybody
you.
can smoke.
I'm so kidding with you. I'm well aware of 420, the God of War game, the video game that's coming out right now, which is about like damning the gods, that kind of thing. It's the same kind of Jason and the Argonauts type thing, where the gods come after humans, and the humans are just damning the gods. That's the third one in the series, and that also makes the three pillars. And the logo for God of War 3 is just the three pillars with the Omega sign in the back. Mm. So that, you know, destruction and beginning and end, that kind of thing.
Right. See, we're dealing with this is the 111th Congress we have. So it's going to happen in this term before 2012.
Definitely,
you know, we're dealing with this 111th. Oh, and we have the 111th Pope.
We're also there's a lot of interesting numerology events that are going to happen in the future. I mean, next year is going to be 2011, so you could just imagine in the year November, you have a ton of 1111 events. So, I mean, I guess just watch out for things that are coming up. The next date that we feel might be some kind of energy date, ley line, sacred numerology is going to be what? This month on the 22nd, because you have the 322, 2010.
322, skull and bones, it's the equinox. The equinox is when Osiris is awakened. That's all tied into the green energy of the Incredible Hulk and this dual concept of battling with this new energy.
Don't you have St. Paddy's Day in March, right?
Right. The phallus grows three times its size, and that's what the Hulk does. He grows three times his size. Yeah. So you have
the jolly green giant. There you go.
Exactly. So you have this green energy associated with the spring, you know, the awakening of Osiris in the spring.
And Osiris is, for people that don't know, is often depicted in hieroglyphs as being green, right?
As being green, right. The Osiris, the whole concept, you go through the phases. Whenever you're changing colors, you're known to be dying.
Right.
So you could see that done with the ritual of Michael Jackson as he went from black to white. He was dying,
mm-hmm.
and that's what Osiris does. He goes from black to white. He awakens, and he awakens green.
People that wish they were millionaires and loved by millions of people like Michael Jackson are green with envy.
Exactly. Yeah, they're exactly. Are green with envy.
It's never ending, man. It doesn't seem
You know, and envy gives you a mathematical value of 32.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just the N and the V, and you remove the E, you see?
Right.
So like I was saying, you know how to use the vowel.
Know how to use your vowels, ladies and gentlemen. You better get on that.
So, like we're saying, 322, we're dealing with the skull and bones. The femur bones are what we use to get up and walk, or, you know, the resurrected Osiris. The facial in our skull, we have, I believe, it's 8 facial bones and 14 cranial bones, which gives us 22, or 877, or we get the room 1408.
Oh yeah, that's the film with Sam Jackson, right? It's the horror film where if you stay in room 1408, you're gonna
exactly
lose your mind. 1408 yeah. adds to 13, right?
22.
Oh, it adds to 22. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, I got it. And 22 is an 1111 as well.
Right, and when you dial toll free, it's 1-877.
Right, always 877. That's right.
So I feel that the spring, you know, Bill Clinton mentioned in one of his speeches that we force the spring. So, and when you could see Jim Carrey.
Right.
The movie where
The Mask.
He's the Riddler. When he's the Riddler, you see him showing his arms are spread, showing polarity. Because that's what's happening when a seed first comes out of the ground, the first thing it does, it shows two leaves. So we're in this dual nature. So you have to wed those two polarities. When this new consciousness awakens, you have to wed those two polarities within yourself. That's what the Hulk is fighting with, and that's what Smeagol is fighting with, is those two polarities, you know.
Very interesting. I was doing some correlations between Osiris and Jim Carrey in one of my videos, and you got Jim Carrey, JC, which is a resonator of Jesus Christ, and he's in the movie The Mask, where his whole face and body is green. He's in the movie The Grinch, where he's mm-hmm. completely green, and he's also, there is one other film, I guess The Riddler, where he's dressed in all green.
Right.
So he's in three films that resonate with this Osiris green theme that we're talking about.
Exactly. He's connected with this Whoville, this Who energy, too, that where, you know, the Horton hears a Who. He deals with the Who's and The Grinch, and then Horton hears a Who, he's playing the elephant. We have been hearing a Who, and the Who is just a numerical value of 22. And we're dealing with the Who of the band The Who. You could see the bullseye in their album with the arrow pointing north. So Horton is just North Zero, or the Throne Zero becomes Throne.
Horton's an elephant, and they're notorious for their memory, and they're also a representative of the Republican Party.
Exactly. So you're shaking the earth, and you're bringing back memory. So you're talking about the thunderbolts of Zeus.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're talking about shaking the earth. And so, yeah, definitely, we're talking about memory coming back, or total recall. And you could see that with the alphabet that we were just talking about with the fifth element, with the glove right there, you know, and then the movie of Mars and Schwarzenegger getting total recall and putting his hand in that mold where he put his hand in there and he experiences total recall on Mars. We're speaking of Mars and Aries and Ram, which is memory. Yeah, definitely. So
if I recall, too, he has to spread his fingers out in sort of an 11-11 pattern as well, so he has to hit this sort of physical button of duality with his hand, which with this ET technology, and that's what allows him to wake up.
Right. And we're dealing with Penta, which is five, and the day of Pentecost and the pentagram, and so we're dealing with the $5 foot long. And
even the largest volcano, the active volcano on Mars, is called Olympus Mons. So there's all kinds of symbolism with that word as well.
And we have the Olympics this year, and you have the Clash of the Titans, which is the Olympians. So you have this this Olympic energy.
And Arnold was an Olympian, right? I mean, or
exactly.
There you go.
Yeah, he was Mr. Olympia.
There you go.
So, and now, you know, now he's governor. Mm-hmm. What does a governor do? A governor in a vehicle slows things down. So we just have to, you know, and he's over there in Cali where the fire is, which is fire. It's all tied in together, but you just have to know, like you say, use your vowels and have to know that, understand the use of pi and that everything is connected and that things are infinite based on just vibrations, tones, and sounds, and notes.
And colors.
And colors, and especially colors, because when you see colors repeated over and over and over and over, certain colors, they mean the same thing. If you see, you know, Morpheus offering a red-blue pill, and then you see
Obama's logo is red and blue as well.
Yeah, and you see Obama and Biden wearing the red and blue tie, and then you see over there in Haiti, their colors are red and blue, or you see Wyclef with the red and blue on. It's the same thing, that same choice, that somebody's going to come along and offer you a choice that you can get with this or you can get with that.
Yeah, and it's really important to note also that nobody's going to offer you their truth. You know, if people are talking about, we have truth, we're going to give it to you, it's absurd. You know, the only kind of meaningful truth has to come from within.
Yeah, it comes from within. Nobody's going to sit down and disclose and give you anything.
Why should they? How does that benefit them? You know what I mean?
Right, and no one owes you anything. We have to. It has to be self-discovering. It has to become self-realized. And it feels a whole lot better when it becomes self-realized than because you start awakening within your own self instead of it's something that somebody told you.
Sure, it can have a lot more power and help you in your life a lot more if you're able to come to it in your own way, at your own time.
Oh, definitely. I mean, we will finally be free when we don't need anyone's help, when we don't need any rescue, we don't need anyone's help, we will be free.
Yeah, well, we don't have to depend on the alphabet to rest on Q, right?
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, it's happening right now. It's happening right now, and like I said, 212 is the boiling point. So
yeah, everybody, keep your eyes and ears open for this upcoming 322 and lots of events that are going to happen from now until 2012 and beyond. It's going to be really, really miraculous.
And pay attention to, what date is that? 314. So 314 is, give us 3.14, which is pi.
Mm-hmm.
So the occult definitely loves pi. You know, is there was the last movie that came out, which The Blind Side.
Right. Right when you said the word pie.
The Blind Side is the guy has on his jersey 7-4.
Hmm.
So 7-4 is 3.14, which is March 14th. So just keep your eyes and ears open.
Yeah, everything is coding. Everything is holographic in nature. Right when Will said the word pie, it was exactly 1 hour, 11 minutes, and 11 seconds we'd been talking. So I mean, you know, you might say that this happenstance, but I don't believe it is. I think
no, there's no coincidence.
Yeah.
There's no, everything is in divine order. Everything is perfect and messed up at the same time.
Well, I think that's an excellent note to end on. This is Steve Wilner, and we're talking with the Master Code Cracker Black Belt in Language, Will, in Phoenix, Arizona. We both have the will to wake up, don't we?
Yes, we do.